a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. We are here in Farmington. We're at Station Park, and we're outside of Bucked Up, and it's a supplement store. And, of course, yes, we're giving away all kinds of
They got the red shaker bottle from Bucked
nice.
Up.
Nice. We love the red shaker. So free red shaker, free blue shaker for whatever shaker you like. And the first 50 are free, you know, so come on up. A lot of folks out here. Fun time. Of course, it's the Tour de Fans. We're building up for the big rivalry game this week, which is on Saturday. And it's, of course, 9/11. A lot of really exciting things happening. You can actually fill out a card to get free tickets to the game if you don't have them already. Having a good time. I got a question for you, though, Alex.
Yeah, what do you have there, Scotty?
So, growing up,
yes.
Like, who was, like, your absolute favorite sports figure hero?
Okay. Like, I mean, what,
I don't care what sport.
It's changed all the time. It's changed before.
I'm talking about when you were growing up.
So, when I was
now.
Okay. And this belies a little bit of what, I mean, you know, I was in the Dallas-Fort.
You can't say Tiger Woods either.
I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex for a lot of my upbringing.
Okay.
And the Cowboys won Super Bowls while I was there.
Yes.
And Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith were pretty tough to beat in terms of, like,
they were
good.
I was actually a fan of Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I
would be a good
they
choice.
Turned the entire thing around. I remember the Cowboys at 1-15. I remember Tom Landry, like, being unceremoniously pushed to the side.
That was painful.
And then for it to pay off, for them to actually win, you know, a couple Super Bowls.
Less painful at that point.
Yeah,
huh?
It was just insane because it wasn't that Emmitt Smith was Barry Sanders. Like, not even close.
No.
Like, he did not have those moves,
yeah,
but he would have 100.
I'd take Emmitt Smith over Barry.
Really?
Smith, yes.
You had Barry Sanders, though, in the backfield.
I know.
Was it because he was fast to hand off to?
No, it was because he would get a lot of negative yards.
Oh, okay.
So he put you in tough situations.
So third and 19.
Emmitt Smith was always giving you that tough 4 yards.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just amazing. He'd have that 28 carry, 158-yard game, and you'd be like, Emmitt Smith did it again, man. He was solid. So those were the two guys I probably, when I was a kid, looked up to a ton. Russell Wilson's been that as an adult. I really love what he's about. And I wouldn't admit this in public.
See, when you're older, though, you can't have a sports team.
I kind of do, though.
Kind of
well,
little,
here's the thing is I want my kids to cheer for, like, decent
people.
Yeah. And my son became a huge Tom Brady fan when he was really little. And obviously,
I've become a Tom Brady fan.
And now my son's 64 years old, and he's still a big Tom Brady fan. No, I'm just saying he's been a Tom Brady fan forever. And, you know, in the end, it was one of those things where I was like, well, I can't tell you can't be a Tom Brady fan. Like, of course you're.
I'll bet you can't guess who mine was.
Who was it?
I'll bet you can't guess.
It's Roger Staubach.
No.
Oh.
You will never guess it.
Okay. Larry Zonka.
No, Larry Zonka.
He was
Miami
Dolphin.
Before me.
No, I know.
I wasn't a Miami Dolphin fan growing up. It's like, that happened later.
All right, who was it? Who was it?
Lawrence Taylor.
LT?
Yes.
Well, he wouldn't have been the role model that I would have picked
for
my kid.
Well, it wasn't about role models.
I was
a kid. I wasn't, like, worried about my kids at the time.
He was an insane person.
He's not a great role model.
But he was a crazy football player.
And you know what it was? It was his face mask. I thought that was the most,
you know what?
Like, intimidating, scary. And there was this picture of him, and it was in Sport magazine. And I cut out the picture and I put it in my locker in, like, the eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I just thought he's the coolest
I can picture
guy
it.
In
it's
the world.
That cage one. It was like one of the original right. older cages. Yes. And when you're a kid, now my kid's obsessed about it now. So they talk about, oh, man, I'm going to get the Speedflex helmet. Oh, I'm going to get this.
I didn't know what that
when
is.
When I was a kid, it was getting the cage one with the bull ring right up at the top.
Right.
That was the whole thing. Yeah. You were like, you got to look like that. You know.
And you imagine like back in the day where they go, yeah, I want the single bar.
I
want the single bar face mask.
No, or the ones.
That's like the really tough one.
You remember they went like in that weird phase where they got the plastic face mask that looked terrible. Yeah. I want that plastic deal. I'm going, how did those not break? Because they will bend the metal bars. Right. I'm like, how did they not break these plastic ones? All right.
I played against Lawrence Taylor.
Did he ever sack you?
No.
How on earth did he not sack you?
I was like just man crushed. I was serious.
Did you tell him that after the game? Well,
no, I didn't say anything.
No, you don't talk to him. No one talks to Lawrence Taylor. Right?
Actually, Lawrence Taylor's from what I know, is a pretty
nice guy.
He's a good dude.
Let's break down a couple of things that the head coaches in this rivalry said this week, Scott, as we break down some of what the players have said, some of what these coaches have said. Let's start first with BYU, Kalani Sitake, and how it's been for him being on both sides of that rivalry.
It's unique because I'm the head coach here, but before I was a head coach, I was a player here at BYU. Before I was a player, I was a fan. So my job as a coach isn't to tell the fans how to behave or how to act. My job as a coach is just be thankful that we have fans that care and are passionate about our team. And then try to meet their expectations. That's what we teach our players. You know, we have fans with high expectations, and I've been on both sides, and I've had family that are on both sides, and so it's there's really good people all over this place, and especially in the rivalry games, and I think it's just really good for the soul to wish good things on people. I mean, that's why I want to beat Utah. I really do, right? But afterwards, I hope them. I wish them success, and hope they do well.
Okay. So stop. There's some politicking going on there. There's some politics.
Oh, wow. He's tried every different angle.
That's kissing the babies.
Every different angle.
That's the kissing the babies.
I just love our fans, and I love that they're passionate, and I want them to
I want to be Utah, but afterward, I hope that they have great success.
I want to put good vibes on everyone here.
But
I'm happy for everyone.
He can't.
No, that's he's not.
But he can't say we're going to win this one. He can't say it.
Why do people have to downplay this? And all these coaches do it. And it's so annoying to me. It's like, no, you don't have to downplay this. You have to say, we don't like you guys. We want to beat you guys. Because that's what everybody really feels. If you're a BYU fan, none of this fake nice stuff. Like, throw it out the window. Okay? No BYU fan sits there and goes, oh, yeah, I really respect that program there and I want them to win. No, they don't. And if you're really a fan, you don't like the other school. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And it goes both ways.
All right. Well, let's listen to the other side then. Here's Kyle Whittingham talking about the rivalry. How much different it is now?
It is a lot different, and for a lot of reasons. First of all, we're not in the same conference anymore. That's been 11 years now. We don't play it every year. You know, we're taking 2 years off after this year. We've taken time off in the past. Didn't play it last year, although that was extenuating circumstances. The timing of the game, you know, early in the season, typically a rivalry game is the last game of the season. So there's a lot of reasons why it has a different feel than it used to. We're playing this year, so we got to be ready to go.
That does not matter. It doesn't – look, and I'll tell you why. Okay, and –
Devin Cafusi already told us we don't lose to these guys.
I know. Kyle Whittingham is, look, he's downplayed this more than anyone. And the fact that he downplays it so much.
That's a
and
tell.
That means it's the biggest rivalry in the world. It matters. And this is my whole point. Just own up and say, we hate the other school.
Yeah.
And we don't like them. And we don't want them to win. And just leave. I think it would be more fun that way. I really did.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I like the Michigan Ohio State rivalry. I like the fact that they don't like. Look, this rivalry has to be Auburn Alabama. Someone needs to poison the oak trees. Someone needs to somewhere. They need to do something where they can literally have a meaningful rivalry. And really, what Kyle Whittingham is saying is that it's got to matter. We got to. Really, what needs to happen? Utah needs to lose. That's what has to happen.
But it's not just
in order
that.
For it to be like
the Max Hall. Hall comments in 2009 were a watershed moment because it was one of those things where everybody freaked out. it was too intense. It was too much. It was just Bronco got offended. Bronco was sad about, it's turned into too much. It's too much. You know, it's too much hate. And you go, look, it's not about like that you really hate that team. You really hate that they beat you, and you really hate that you lose. Those are the two things that happen in rivalry games. So you know what? You don't make it a rivalry game when you pretend like it's not a rivalry
right.
game. Then it does go away. So, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, or another break. We're going to come back next hour. We've got more to go here. We're here at Farmington Station in Farmington. Scott, did you know Farmington Station is in Farmington?
I did not know that.
You can get off. Yeah, look, just get off the old Park Lane exit. Easy to find. It's a massive retail location. We're right across from the Harmons, all the way across the parking lot from the Harmons. We're at Bucked Up, which is supplements, pre- and post-workout stuff. You can come in and get yourself a blue or red shaker, courtesy of the folks here at Bucked Up. It's part of the Tour de Fans. We've got the big old RV out here. Come take a look. Take a picture with Scott. And we've had a couple people ask for autographs from Scott. No big deal. It's not a problem. He'll do it. It's fine. And enter to win tickets to BYU versus Utah this Saturday. More to go right here on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio after news, traffic, and weather.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.